watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Rick, Dweebum, featuring X-Ree.
And you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. I am your host, J.D., once again, as Brian has gone on a hiatus, or that's what we're going to say. Meh. So, yeah, whatever, we don't need him. We got this.
We killed him.
That body's starting to stink.
Yeah, we got this down. So, joining me this week, much like last week, is Peter, Amy, John, NXV. How are y'all this week?
Fabulous.
Yeah. It's very exciting. Amy did her own live show yesterday. Very awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So, on the underbase. So.
Please be aware that the internet now will die.
That's it. This is it. It's all over.
This is when Barack Obama says, "Oh my God, this is too much."
Right, we can't.
Yes, exactly.
The interwebs can't handle it. So,
close all this.
The fact that I was actually able to do a live broadcast and it didn't take that many brain cells is kind of scary to me.
Yeah, it was. Sorry, Brian.
You'll lose more brain cells as you continue doing it.
Okay. So,
keep that in mind. Sorry.
Interesting week. Not a lot going on. Well, I guess there is a lot going on. Look at all the. I look at the show notes. It looks like there's tons of stuff going on. Is it really that a lot of stuff?
There's a lot of bullet points.
Well, next week we have the movie. So
this is true.
So yeah, we better get it all out of our systems now because after next week we're going to be very apathetic.
Yeah, it's 1 week from yesterday.
Gosh.
Most of us.
Can you believe it?
I know. I've got to buy my tickets tonight. I almost forgot. I got to get in for that 3D. Transformers. Yeah. I'm excited. Kind of excited.
Yeah.
I've been to the first showing of the other two, so I figure I need to go for this one. So
yeah.
Shall we?
We kind of have to.
What
first
do we have
up,
to lose?
Yeah. Nothing, really. Our paycheck?
Right. The internet's closing down in a couple hours.
Our paycheck? Oh, wait. We don't get paid. Thanks, Brian. No,
Ryan starts, pulling the feed. Sorry.
Yeah. It's like, you're done. You're ruining my show. Apparently someone might be excited that you can buy an Encore Constructicon set. Yeah. No? So if you don't already own like 10,
If you don't have a Walgreens or a grocery store or a Big Lots to buy a knockoff from.
Right. Yeah. To buy a decent knockoff. Most of those are decent. There is an Encore version coming out, which is the whole Constructicon set for
$120. $120.
Excuse me? Really?
How much was the original?
Well, less than
or
that.
Or is it the original? Or
okay. Let's break it down here. You're paying $20 per Constructicon? For this set?
Ouch.
Is that
right? It's more like you're paying $13 per Constructicon, and then whatever is left is going into all the parts needed to put Devastator together.
But that's BS, because...
I mean, that's almost an entire Constructicon's worth of material all by itself.
It is a lot. That's the deal with early Combiner with that first Devastator set. It's very much a square peg into a round hole, because you really have to have, like... all of those odd connecting devices to really kind of get it all to fit together.
Yeah.
So, odd.
See, if it had come along later in the line, probably all those extra pieces would have turned into like a God Bomber thing.
Yeah.
So that it would have been extra robot, even if it was a piece of crap.
But, I mean, even at that, I mean, they do turn into like weapons and stuff for the vehicles, at least, for the most part. Sort of. Kind of. Eh. Yeah. I mean, you don't need them. I mean, but hey, who doesn't want, like, a bulldozer with a rocket launcher on it, you know?
I'll admit that's kind of boss, but
yeah,
still.
You know, if you're going to have a big badass bulldozer, you want
a
missile
on it. I mean, back to your point, though, it is $20 per damn Constructicon.
And there's no, I mean, it's just like, that's just redonkulous. I mean,
yes.
I don't know. But whatever. I mean, I guess if you don't have it and you really want, like, a throwback sort of...
Well, and look at it this way. You know, all those upgrade parts that one company was putting out for Devastator, now there's a new Devastator to go with them.
You know, and that's an interesting point, because that set's been in the making for a little while, hasn't it? I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly they were thinking to go with vintage Devastators. Oh, that's another interesting thing I just remembered, too. At the Tokyo Toy Show, when this was announced, there was the vague mention that Devastator will be modified to conform with modern safety requirements.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, like I said, it was a vague statement, and that's pretty much all we have to go on right now. My initial thought is that at least the part where Devastator can shoot pointy little plastic drills in the general direction of children's eyes might be taken away.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I bet it doesn't even come with, like, the drill bits and stuff. I bet it just comes with the hand fused to that box, because there's no reason for those to be separate.
And then the bulldozer can be driving around with a fist on it.
Yes, instead of...
Bulldozers would be way more cool if they actually had giant iron fists.
So, yeah, but I mean, but that would make sense. I imagine that those will be fused, because they were missiles in separate bits before, but yeah, based on that, I would say that they're probably going to be fused, based on a complete conjecture that I have no evidence for whatsoever. So that's just a guess.
No, but I mean, it's the thing that makes sense with what tiny little bit we have to go on.
Yeah. Or as Kilby says, it'll be rubbery.
I can't imagine what else would need safety modifications. Especially for a Japanese toy release. I mean, this is almost unprecedented.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. You know what I have to say, though? I'm kind of tempted. Because, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Kind of. I don't have a Devastator. And I mean...
So, wait. You just complained for the past, like... 10-15 minutes about it.
I said,
maybe I'll.
That's right. Kinda.
Peter, I know sequences where JD is talking seem a lot longer than they really are, but it hadn't even been 5 minutes yet.
No. See, that's why. So imagine how long Fanboy Versus is when it's me talking for 2 hours.
17 hours.
It feels like a day.
It's just real light.
Anyway, so that's the first news bullet. I'm really good at drawing out that first news item. Then we'll just rush through the rest. Okay.
See, this one's been neat is when we drew out the hub thing last week.
Yeah, you know. and apparently awesome. if Devastator does well, then they're also going to do Twin Cast and New Sound Wave. So.
A.K.A. Sound Blaster.
Right, mm-hmm. A.K.A. Sound Blaster. Hooray.
Now, Twin Cast and Sound Blaster, of course, have been re-released previously, but I imagine by now those aren't that easy to get anymore.
No.
Yeah, 06 and 05, respectively.
I don't know. I've got a blaster. I'm not that excited. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Holy shnikes, this Optimus Prime looks awesome. Not to be random. So the new MP10 convoy, the Masterpiece convoy, that's coming out. That's a wee bit smaller and a wee bit more awesome. Holy crap, that looks good.
There's also I saw a link through T-Formers a video someone shot of the transformation being demonstrated, but most of what I saw was the back of someone's head, so I'm not sure.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Bravo.
That was awesome.
No, nice camera work.
I love. See, that's why movie business is going to go down, because you have amateur video shooters just like that.
It separates. It does separate the wheat from the chaff, though, in that respect. I mean, you really can tell the people that know what they're doing versus don't when you start to see something like that. But
film degree.
Yeah, film degree versus dude with a phone, you know?
I believe Michael Bay started out much the same way, so give the person a chance.
So see, you too, if you have a phone and you're a douchebag, you too could someday make
Sunset somewhere.
$100 million grossing movies. I'm serious. Like, this Prime looks really good. Like, I want this. I want this a lot.
Lots of accessories, too. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Lots of bits.
I don't know.
Isn't it obvious, like, at some point, we're just going to get a completely re-engineered from the ground up Masterpiece Prime? You know, is that probably going to be the next one?
I mean, this looks pretty well. I mean, this looks decently different, though. I mean, in essence, I think it looks the same, you know, looking at it. But if you look at some of the engineering bits, it does look like, I mean, there's at least a few different things going on.
Well, I mean, the torso is all completely different. I mean, just in appearance.
That's a
good point, Chad, though.
What'd he say?
Well, we need a do-over on Masterpiece Megatron.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, geez. Yeah.
I mean, even just to start with a change of material so that it does not rust the first day you open it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean...
a small request.
Yeah, you know, just minor little things.
Well, and that seems to be the thing with a lot of these Masterpiece toys is that there's material issues that really bring the whole thing down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
and
this
if somehow Hasbro could do a Masterpiece Megatron, which, of course, But if they could, we wouldn't have that problem, I don't think.
They came out with the Wii Megatron, so...
Yeah, somehow I think that's a little different.
Maybe. So, shocking bit of news here. I have to say I was really surprised by this move. E-Hobby is going to be offering a black version of Masterpiece Rodimus.
E-Hobby usually, this is quite unprecedented. E-Hobby usually never does anything like this, so
yeah.
Grab it while you can, guys.
No, I mean, I would not expect that any of those molds, you know, in particular that one would be black. You never see those.
E-Hobby never does anything.
No.
Well, you know, what I can't wait for, though, is the clear Masterpiece Rodimus.
Yeah. So, that'll be coming as well. It'll be blue, and it'll have, like, the light, like, illumination paint around the arm so you can have it holding the Matrix up, and it'll be clear.
And it will break before you ever get it.
Yes. Yes. It will be terrible. So, let's see. Dark of the Moon Ultimate Optimus Prime is showing up apparently at a comic book store in Massachusetts for $89.99. Is this legit? Did we verify this?
For a paltry. Yeah, we have receipts and everything on T-Former.
Nice. So that's real. How much is it overseas usually? That's I guess that's the next story. 1,600 yen, $200.
16,000 yen.
I'm sorry.
1,600 yen is only like $16.
$16. That would be awesome.
Actually, around now, 1,600 yen is closer to $25.
God, that's like when I went to Italy and it was like a hamburger. It was like 16,000 lira. I'm like, wow, that's bad. That's bad for them. That's not good. This is like pre-World War II with people with like wheelbarrows of money. Like, I would like to buy a toy. and maybe some bread. But anyway.
Toilet paper!
God. We're all over the place again. Brian is like, why do I have JD Host?
Takara is releasing the Dark of the Moon Ultimate Optimus
at
the modest price of 16,000 yen. Details on differences, should they actually exist, are unrevealed.
Is there going to be differences?
That has yet to be revealed.
Should we expect there to be some? Maybe paint.
Even if there was paint differences, would you put down $200 on this?
No.
XB asked the hard question.
Yeah. But there is something.
I mean,
who will?
I'm going to drop $80 or $90 on this.
You asked
the right questions. I answer them in douchebaggery ways.
Yes. Revotech. I just like to say
Revotech.
I just like to say it wrong. Optimus Prime, we're getting some details out of that. That's not a nice silvery version that we have a picture of.
It's a prototype.
Yeah, it's a prototype. So it's a prototype.
Will this be transforming, or is it just going to be like a...
No, it's like the other five Transformers Revoltech. It's just an action figure.
Yeah,
statue. With insane articulation. Kilby's shown his $6 Revoltech Hot Rod on the stream before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we all cried inside from seeing Kilby's Hot Rod.
Yeah, because wasn't it, like $5, $6, something like that? He got it for an insanely cheap price.
Yes.
This thing's got a lot of accessories, a lot of guns and blades and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're all on revolver joints, so they can mount in place of, like, arms or legs or his head.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or they can just attach onto his arms as shown in the pictures.
Yeah, but you definitely want to put it in as his head because that would be cool.
Yes.
So Do we have a price on this yet? Do we know what this is going to be?
No, but it'll be expensive.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Everybody scoffed at me, I thought, when I said that. And I was like, this is going to be pricey.
On average, Revoltex go for $30 to $40, but some of the more involved ones have gone upwards of $70.
See, and I totally could see this fitting in that price point.
And they're, you know, like this tall.
Yeah. So, so do you think it's too lame?
Yeah.
Do you feel, are you one of those people that are too cool to wear the Bumblebee or Optimus Prime 3D glasses? Well, you're in luck. You can get Oakley's Transformer 3D sunglasses, or not sunglasses, but glasses rather, and be all elite and stuff with either your Autobot or Decepticon logo for $150.
They're extremely
$150.
$150.
I mean, but still, $100 for.
Yeah.
Well,
so
they're special 3D glasses.
Yeah.
So
they're made with all the latest materials and technology for the maximum field of vision and minimal glare.
Right. Yeah, all that.
Well, how many times you go to see a 3D movie? I guess it just depends.
Yeah, I see it this way. You have one of three options. You can be like most people and just use the glasses that you get there. Or you can be the cool guy and get the Oakleys, or you can be the guy that the cool guy beats up and get, like, the Bumblebee or the Optimus Prime glasses. It's your choice.
Well, those things hurt, so...
They're not really cut out
like
for you.
Nails on your face.
Yeah, and just imagine what that's going to feel like when some douchebag is punching you in the face because you're a tool. So, you know.
Well, you know what? You could just say, here, why don't you try this on? And the guy would be like, oh my God, it hurts.
I am going to be passing on those. I'm just going to pick up the ones there. They work.
Yeah.
They're
but
just
they're
fine.
Free.
So.
And they're free.
In news from last year, or more so. Apparently the story is just now breaking for some reason, but, I guess someone was interviewing Michael Bay and they were saying that, they were asking about the Megan Fox thing. And apparently the story goes that when Megan Fox, like what, 2 years ago or something, was making a comment about Bay's directing style, she referred to him as, Hitler or Hitler-like. And, of course, that set off Spielberg and said something to the effect of fire her now or something like that, I guess, is the story. And thus she was gone. So,
and in her place, a bag of hangers remained.
Yeah. So there you go.
We miss you, Rob.
So, you know, note for those aspiring young people, don't refer to your superiors as Hitler.
Hitler.
Especially when their superiors, you know, did Schindler's List. Just a thought. You know, they might have a thing against you saying things like that. So, this seems like a really old story, though. Like, why is this news now, I guess? Because the movie's coming out, but still.
It's news now because Michael Bay explained why she got fired, I guess.
Is this shocking, though? I mean, didn't we figure it was something like that? I thought. It almost seems like I've read this story before. I don't know.
Well,
I think you have.
I believe the way it's been understood before is that Megan Fox is spinning it like she moved on from Transformers by her choice.
Yeah,
which in one way of thinking could be almost construed as true since she chose to call Michael Bay Hitler.
I mean, when you call your boss Hitler, pretty much said, I've had enough of this job.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a big, it's not like it's anything new. But yeah, previously people kept thinking that Bay was the one who fired her. Like he was in the face of it, he was like, oh, I'm over it. You know, I didn't think it was very bad or anything at all. And then in the background, she was like, I'm going to fire this girl or kill her off or something, you know?
It's too bad they didn't get to kill her off.
Maybe they will.
Does anybody else kind of get the idea that maybe she's just a drama queen and she said it for shock value and it just came back to bite her in the backside?
I kind of get the idea she's not very smart.
What would give you that idea?
I agree with you, Amy. I think so.
She's just a drama queen. I mean, come on, man.
So.
Boundaries.
So, yeah. Eh. Anyway. Okay. Dark Sentinel Prime. That toy is coming out. I don't know why. I don't even want to know why.
That's a Cyberverse figure, right?
Yes, it is the Cyberverse. So, yep. I bought my first Cyberverse. I got the Power Glide the other day. It's pretty cool.
And you love it.
I don't love it. I like it.
I'm the JD who loves Power Glide.
I'm the guy who likes Power Glide. But in a totally non-homosexual way. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying.
Don says he'll even wear the hat and the boots.
Right. I'll wear the, just not the skirt. That's all. So, because I haven't shaved. But anyway, let's see what else.
Read this one exactly how it's written, JD.
Do it.
So, fresh off the back of a truck via flea market, shots of the production version of the Club Freebie sideburn, totally stolen. I'm a little reluctant to even say this, but you know, because we don't like to, you know, do too much of that. But since it's there, I guess we'll say that it's there.
It looks very nice.
It does look nice. Now, this is the one that you get if you've signed up this year.
Yeah, if you were a member as of March 16th, whatever. Yeah, that's your.
So I had to have been signed up. So if I sign up now, that's when I get the
next year's.
The next year's one. Okay. So I can't get this one, but I'll get the. I won't. So.
Well, you could get this one. You will have to pay for it.
Right.
Probably from someone else.
Who doesn't want this? Who would be crazy to not want this? Because this looks
really
great.
Being that it's very pretty.
Yeah. That's nice. Pretty. I kind of wish I would have not missed out on signing up, but oh well. Them's
yeah,
the
well.
So, but I'm definitely signing up for next year because I want that
I
want the battle charger. Yes. So whichever one it is, and then I'll have to buy the other one. Damn you, BotCon, for being smart.
Really, when you get down to it, there's no real distinction between the battle chargers besides what color they are.
Right.
So
yeah.
You might as well just call them the battle chargers.
Battle chargers and go with it. But you need both of them. You can't just have the one. So.
Well, no, that would be silly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. So, we find out what we need to eat at Burger King next month. Or this month, I guess.
Kids
meals. The kids meals. Are these are bobbleheads or what is this?
They're called flip. Each one has a different feature. Like one you can transform. There's some you can transform. Some have, I believe, Soundwave is glow in the dark.
Awesome.
You can. There some have sound. Some have lights.
Yeah. Okay. So
they're already
split
out.
Split open. So this is for the. I think that's Soundwave. I guess flip open it. Flip open it. Flip open his head and his body flips out. Turn out the lights and watch Soundwave glow in the dark. So I guess their body comes out from the head. Is that's what this is saying? So they're kind of like super deformed. Is how they look, but
they kind of look like bobbleheads to me.
Yeah, I get that's what I thought when I first saw them, but now that I look at them, it's much more like a super deformed sort of thing.
And in other news of fast food premiums, remember those KFC kids meal things we saw a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently those are out in Malaysia.
Malaysia?
Yes, Malaysia.
Wasn't that originally where they're supposed to go anyway?
I think that was originally Malaysia.
I have no idea.
I can't hear Malaysia and not think of Zoolander. Anyway.
Apparently those toys are like the size of deluxes.
Really?
Yeah. There's
we're not getting those here, are we?
There's pictures of them over on the Allspark.
Oh. Well. So we're not getting those, though, are we? We're not? Yes? No?
Let's go with no.
No.
Dang it.
Since when was the last KFC that you went to that gave kids toys out?
I don't know, but I would go to that KFC a lot. Fried chicken and toys? Come on.
I know.
That's a fat guy.
The last time I ate from a KFC was when I tried a double down. And I'm pretty sure I died afterward.
Fried chicken food and toys. That is a fat guy geek dream right there.
Yeah.
KFC, I hope you're listening. for history lovers, Jim Shooter is going to recount the development of the Transformers property, including some of the new prehistory. And you can go to jimshooter.com and check that out.
Have any of you read those yet?
Not yet.
I'm working my way through it. Some interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, the first post is actually really interesting because it tells about how Peter, what was the name of that company that was doing this first? Knickerbocker Toys actually approached DC and Marvel in succession to get a franchise built around generic kind of transforming Japanese robot toys, which apparently Mysterians, which were apparently not the same things used to make Transformers. But, like, there was a complete sample comic worked up by DC, which was apparently crap.
Nice.
But the whole thing kind of tanked when Hasbro bought out Knickerbocker Toys. And then the next year, Transformers.
Ah.
Interesting, isn't it?
I can't imagine that the DC version would be crap. considering the state of DC at the time. They were too busy.
It's definitely a really good read. So
they were too busy with Crisis. Yeah. So anyway,
and their part two as well is talk about the Marvel Comics part piece
and,
of it,
and so. The Marvel versus Sunbow conflict.
Yes,
that was quite
very interesting.
It was very telling of the differences between comic and cartoon G1.
Really, I've got to check this out. This sounds exciting now.
Yeah, it's really great.
So awesome!
I like how. There was a one line, it was just like, treachery is afoot.
Oh, there was a great line from the first post, too, which explained why they felt they needed to have a storyline built around these. Because in Japan, it said, cars turn into robots, robots turn into cars, and you don't ask why, they just do. Because Japanese kids just say, yes.
Yeah.
It was very entertaining because even today that still rings very true.
Yeah, there's no need to really, you know.
Yeah, this car turns further. Into a robot. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, finally, as far as news goes, apparently we always have to have a little piece of third-party news. There is a shadowy figure of what appears to be add-on armor for animated Optimus to turn him into the like animated Power Master Optimus that was in the Allspark Almanac. So literally what we have described is basically what is there. So you can sort of see the shadowy image, but it doesn't really tell you much. So,
and we don't even know which third party it is that's intending to do this.
Yeah, so very strange. could be a new player, could be, you know, established, I assume, but... So
could be any.
So that's there, and
I'm not that fired up about that yet. I mean, I don't even have an animated Optimus, so really, I have nothing to be that fired up about.
And this is supposedly going to be designed around the Voyager mold too. So
okay,
that's going to be large and expensive, I assume.
The Voyager one. So that means that there's a possible recolor. Opportunity for the Toxitron. And
why, yes.
Aha! See? It's like I'm a marketing guy or something. I'm not, but I think
that way. And, of course, the Japanese Black Optimus.
Yes. So there you go. I mean, you have, like, all kinds of opportunities. So, good choice. Third-party unknown.
Don was also suggesting...
Oh, yeah, Mother Master.
Not Devastator Hercules.
Oh, yes. I think there were some new pictures that came out of that as well. Came out of one of the figures. Which looked pretty good, actually.
But damn, that's expensive.
Yeah, that set's going to be crazy.
Do we know how much it's going to cost? Do they know?
Around $100 per unit.
Oh.
Yeah, so
to get a complete Not Devastator, you're looking at, you know... $600-$700.
Oh, man. Oh.
Big Bad Toy Store has it for $97.99.
Oh, God.
And once you factor in the shipping on that, you're up to about $130.
But, I mean, and the engineering doesn't...
Why doesn't Amazon sell this fast?
I don't know. I mean, but the engineering looks pretty good. I mean, the figure looks solid. And well, I just can't drop $100 each
size,
on
you know.
Yeah. That's going to be just... flipping huge. Props to anybody
I can't get one. I don't really want one, but I can't wait to see someone's pictures of it put together.
I know. I'm like, man, that is going to be so sweet.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, good luck to anybody that's buying that whole set. Please send us pictures. Cause...
Robot Kingdom has it for cheaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Robot Kingdom is...
78?
But Robot Kingdom's in Hong Kong, and once you factor in the shipping, you're up to around, you know, 120, 130.
Oh, okay. I did not know Robot Kingdom was big.
I think that's Robot Kingdom. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that anyway.
Okay, sounds good.
Just go with it.
So,
nobody will challenge us.
Very exciting new Transformers Prime this week. Operation Breakdown. Did we all see it?
I saw it at BotCon.
Really?
Right.
That's I did.
Great. Thanks. I didn't see it at BotCon.
Sorry.
I saw it on my TV in standard definition.
I saw it on my TV in high definition.
I got home today and I was like, oh, crap, I have it. And I tried to download it and it was like took too long. So I just had to watch the standard def that was in my DVR. But anyway, what do we think?
Oh.
Are we gonna talk about it? Spoilers?
Oh, yeah, spoilers. Spoilers to people that haven't seen this episode yet.
Should I put the glasses on?
I don't know. Yeah, we don't have crazy Rob hat anymore.
Amy does have her glasses.
Yes. There you go. Okay. Put on the flashing glasses.
Party at Amy.
Are those New Year's glasses, Amy? Seriously? Like, I'm just curious.
The kids got them at some birthday party.
Oh, I didn't think. I was afraid they might be like rave glasses or something.
Yeah.
You know. You didn't strike me as the raver type, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm probably not the raver type, but yeah.
So. Okay. So, spoiler glasses in effect.
I'd like the music, but.
So. So, anyway, what do we think?
It was a very strong episode. It was very dark, too. I really liked it.
It definitely hit the formula straight on.
Yeah, and it wasn't as dark as it could have been. They really pulled back on it because there was a whole thing about, like, oh, we'll deactivate. Okay, so synopsis of the episode, I guess, opens up with Bulkhead and Breakdown fighting in an undisclosed location. And
in Russia.
Russia, we find out later. And so basically, Bulkhead kind of gets the crap beat out of him, and just as Breakdown's about to deliver the killing blow, he gets shot by an unknown party, but we figure out pretty quick it's Mech, which is, of course, the human team. They kidnap Breakdown and basically tell him in no uncertain terms that they're going to dismember and dismantle him to reverse engineer his technology. So, Starscream tries to tell Megatron that they ought to go after him. Megatron says, nope. And then the Autobots decide to go after him, to which Bulkhead's like, quah?
No.
then has a change of heart and decides he's going to go rescue his enemy, because they can't let his tech fall into the hands of Mech. So...
and Eco kind of manipulated him as well.
A little bit, yeah. And so,
if you don't save him,
so the entire team of Autobots, So the entire team of Autobots show up and do absolutely nothing, while Bulkhead comes in,
right?
And manages
Autobots
to find
and track down this errant Energon signal, figuring that it might be Breakdown, but. When they get there, they just find that it's his eye.
It's a trap.
Right. Which is kind of creepy.
It's a clap.
Yeah. I hope they keep the broken out eye, by the way.
I do like how they made fun of where they played upon when Prime was like, he's like, oh, we got to go rescue him. And they're like, why? And then Optimus starts talking. He's like, oh, I knew it was going to lead up to this. And then Peter Cullen delivers his righteous speech.
Yeah.
There's a lot of self-poking. I like that.
But basically, Bulkhead ends up rescuing Breakdown. And then they get out, and Starscream shows up, and everybody goes their separate ways. Now, that's not everything at the end, but we'll get back to that. So I mean, like I said, it was. I don't think it was as dark as it could have been. I mean, right? I mean, it wasn't like we had breakdown screaming and horrible pain as he's being sawed to bits, right? I mean, that could have been worse.
Yeah, but
well, we it could have been out. That.
Yeah, but they did rip out his eye.
Y7, JD. You can't.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's not as dark as
a robot, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But still, that was pretty dark, though.
I mean, it's pretty.
They were going to drill into it. I was like, oh,
I know. Yeah, it's pretty. It is probably right at that edge for what you can get away with at that rating. Probably what helped a lot is that they did do the whole, they turned off his pain receptors so as to. As to keep him from screaming in agony. I thought what was interesting in particular about the episode is that even though it wasn't, I mean, and you can disagree, you know, like to hear your thoughts, but I mean, I don't think that it was necessarily like a ground-shaking episode other than the fact that I thought it hit all of the sort of pitch points I thought were very well. Megatron's response I thought was perfect. You know, Starscream's. Yeah, exactly. Megatron's response was appropriate. The Autobots' response was appropriate.
The Autobots' response was actually really good, I thought, because, I mean, it's not about they have to go help him because somebody's doing something bad to him, even though he's their enemy. It's that they specifically don't want them to get the technology in his body.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a little, I mean, there was a little bit of both, but yeah, I think there was a lot of leaning towards, well, we don't really want him to get the tech, but it's the right thing to do to go break him out. So I thought the part at which the episode really kept its tone correct, or it really stayed on the right track, was at the end. Because when Starscream shows up, it's just Bulkhead and Breakdown. And Starscream shows up and basically says, kill him. This would be the point in most of the, I mean, this is not a new concept. Like, you know, a evil character rescued by a good guy.
This is a well-established formula.
Right. I mean, this is very well-established. But I thought this is the point where the episode sort of took a turn towards new territory, in which normally at this point the bad guy character would do something and say, I'll give you a pass this time, but next time I'm going to get you. And he didn't do that. He totally went for the kill. I was like, yay!
Yeah.
Bravo!
Well, he had a moment where it looked like he was deciding whether or not, am I going to go against the grain or am I actually going to go against the crowd? So I don't know. It could go either way, but he was like, it was kind of like, he kind of gave in to the peer pressure and went, nope, I'm going to try and kill you.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And then there's the part after that where him and Starscream are talking privately, and Starscream tells him there's going to come a time when he's got to pay Starscream back when it's time to choose sides, and Breakdown's first assumption is thinking Starscream means choosing between the Autobots and Decepticons.
Right, yeah, which is appropriate for the moment, and I think it keeps that through thought that Breakdown did have a little bit of a hesitation in there, but I like that he made, I think, what would be considered the right call in terms of that character. You know, I think that would be the thing that would the character to do. I mean, he's not going to suddenly just be like, hey, he saved my life, I should be a good guy. You know what I mean? That's just not.
Yeah, he's still a Decepticon.
Exactly. And so.
And I like that because, like, even if anything, it just kind of plants the seed of if they're going to go with something later, okay. I hate to see that this guy would have a complete change of heart just because of one act of goodness.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it was good. I liked that.
It's a very formulaic episode, but they did parts of it well. I mean, that's pretty much the highest praise you can put on this.
Yeah, and that's why I say I didn't watch it. I wasn't enthralled by the episode itself. There was nothing about the plot that really got me fired up. But those little moments, the way the Autobots responded, the way Megatron responded, the way Starscream responded, those let me know that at least from a creative standpoint, this show's on the right track. You know, it maybe doesn't have every single episode in a really exciting, interesting, you know, edge of your seat sort of episode, but it definitely is like hitting those points, and that has me optimistic.
Plus,
about Prime.
You know, more Clancy Brown is never bad for one thing. And at the very end of the episode, they are setting up foreshadowing for the future where they did learn from Breakdown while they had control of him.
Continuing plot lines? Crazy.
I know.
Man. Awesome.
And at the rate these new episodes are coming out, we'll have a continuation of this in 6-8 months.
Exactly. I'm optimistic about Transformers Prime. See what I did there?
Cool.
Did you see what I... No? Does it, no? Okay, sorry. Anyway, thumbs up. Good stuff. Fun. Not, like I said, not a groundbreaking episode, but at least, you know, thematically... Good stuff.
Appropriate.
So, appropriate, yes. Appropriate.
It was one that I actually enjoyed watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could see where everything was going before it happened, but it was still enjoyable to watch.
And I hope the ripped out eye stays. That'd be awesome. And that the figure comes with it. Wouldn't that be cool? I want. If it doesn't, then I'm totally taking like a soldering iron to it when I get my breakdown. I'll keep one to keep cool, and then I'll get another one, and I'll just... See, now he's right. So, anyway.
Okay, so spoiler time over?
Spoiler time's over. All right, Amy, you can take off your disco glasses.
Yay!
I'm going to start, like, getting a little dizzy.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. See, that's what...
Those are meant to be taken with LSD, so see, if you have those together...
That's where you went wrong, Amy.
Right, see?
Either that or you're not epileptic enough.
So drop some acid next time that you put those on, and then you'll be okay. It balances it out.
Oh,
you'll be fine.
Oh, my God.
I'll have to do that next time.
Right. Just keep that in mind. You know.
Wow.
I'll just, like, you know, get some markers or some...
Do not do drugs, kids. Do not do drugs. Drugs are bad. We do not condone doing drugs.
It's okay, speaking of drug abuse...
yes. Dark of the Moon game. Who's going to talk about that? Peter? Who has a game?
Well, let's go through the pros first. The pros are the game is definitely makes you feel like, you know, a robot, like in War for Cybertron. The gameplay is very similar to War for Cybertron, so that's always fun. And the prequel, I think, was always a good thing. And the fact that High over Lux of Flux, which is now dead anyway, but the fact that they didn't, what was good, they didn't mess with in War for Cybertron. Stuff that they brought it over to the Dark of the Moon game. So that's always good. It's definitely one of the better movie-based games. Usually, as you probably already know, the games are terrible. They usually get, like, you know, terrible percentages on Metacritic or anything like that. So this one actually garnered pretty good reviews, you know, mediocre reviews, definitely better than the other ones. So it's mediocre. I don't know what else to say.
Did you enjoy playing it, Peter?
I enjoyed playing it. I would say that I enjoyed playing it. There were some things that I didn't like. So the cons are the game is hella short. I beat it in less than 10 hours, and I am a slow gamer.
Wow.
I was going to say, hella short is pretty short,
right? Which means
right?
that I'll probably be, like, twice that, and that will be how long I'll be able to play it.
Well, I played it medium. There was easy, medium, or hard, and I played medium, and I beat it in less than 10 hours.
Boy.
Oh.
Wow. A short game. You really only get to play... It's only, like, 6 levels. You play as Bumblebee, Ironhide, Mirage... Soundwave, Laserbeak, and then you play as Megatron, and then as Optimus Prime. It's 7 levels. Some of them are a little long, some are a little short. There are some parts that kind of annoyed me. I don't know if you can help me with this, Amy, but the driving part where you're just driving as an app car is really annoying. I don't know if that was the same, Amy, if you were in War for Cybertron, where if you wanted to boost, if it was just as annoying of a drive, where you would need to use the right stick to steer versus the left stick.
I guess it just depends on what your settings are on your controls, but okay. Like I don't remember, like you had, like there were definitely parts in War for Cybertron where you have to drive through an area.
Yeah.
But there were also, like, you know, there was a whole flying level as well, and I wasn't so good at the flying level.
Yeah, so the Stealth Force is really good. It's, you know, it works just like a third-person shooter or first-person shooter, the strafing and the move forward, backwards. But the driving where you turn from Stealth Force into an actual car is one of the most asinine things I've ever encountered.
Wow.
It's like you would have to you would keep your finger on the on the left trigger, and then you would have to drift with the right trigger and boost with the right button. But in order to steer, you need the right analog stick.
So basically, you need four thumbs on your right hand.
What the hell? No. Actually, I'm using three of them because what the hell am I doing with this one? The left analog stick is just empty. There's nothing to do with the left analog. And it's so asinine and it's so annoying that I died in one board at least six times because the driving is just so asinine.
Ugh. Oh, gosh. This means that I will die forever and a day until I finally get it.
Lovely.
Yeah, there were some things that was just like, yeah. But, so there was, what else? Oh, they got rid of the need for bullets in War for Cybertron. That was one of the main things that I hated.
Oh, that you had to go get more bullets?
Yeah, it's like I'm a freaking
robot. Unlimited?
Yes, unlimited bullets. It's like I'm a robot. I should be producing these things out of my ass.
Yes. literally or figuratively.
Work that into something at some point.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh my gosh.
It's not necessary for me to hunt for bullets. So that's always fun. I like that.
Well, it doesn't make sense that you'd be hunting for bullets on Earth. I mean, come on.
Yeah, really.
Right.
Really? I mean, they have specialty weapons. Come on, you know. Yeah.
Multiplayer is, there's only three modes.
Okay.
A deathmatch, team deathmatch, and conquest, which is a capture and hold type game. There were some comments on the review that apparently the gameplay is slower than War for Cybertron, but I didn't feel that way. The classes return, so that's always, you know, it's pretty expansive in terms of the fact that there's only three modes. From what I experienced, more people were playing conquest than any of the other ones.
Cool.
What else? So, you know, overall, I think it was a fun game. I enjoyed it while I played it, but the story was a little, you know, a little lacking. It was very short. It's definitely short. I don't know if it's worth $60 to play a sub-hour game.
I smell discount bin.
If you're in it for, you know, if you enjoyed playing War for Cybertron's multiplayer and you're interested in that with just movie characters, then yeah, I think this would be the game to play. But if you're just playing it for the story, it's you may want to wait a little bit for it.
So which would you pick, War for Cybertron or Dark of the Moon game? Which one works better for you?
Have you
played both?
Yes, I have played both. If you're looking to play like multiplayer, just straight up multiplayer, War for Cybertron itself has many more modes, more characters. And so I think that it depends on if people are willing to purchase Dark of the Moon game and migrate over, or if they're sticking with War for Cybertron. It really, I would pick War for Cybertron, but obviously you're better off. Obviously there's like, will I play with the one with the less players or the more players? It really depends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Story-wise,
well, this will probably be a rental for me then before I buy it, because there's no way that I'm going to pay, like you said, $60 for a game that has, like, it seems like it has less options than what War for Cybertron did.
Yeah.
Redbox. Does Redbox have that now? I heard they've got video games now. So
yeah, they're starting to roll out video games.
Sweet.
Yeah. And the story is very short.
Rent it. I'll go out and rent it and play with it first before I actually buy it.
So, Peter, I know you don't have that, but you said Blitzwing had the Wii version.
Yes.
Did he have any interesting comments about that?
I don't know if he has had a chance to play it yet. I haven't actually talked to him recently, but I'm assuming that it would be just driving around shooting the crap out of stuff.
Well, that's kind of what I was curious about, how that would compare to the, you know, real game on the 360.
I'm assuming that there is no comparison.
Yeah. There probably isn't.
What you're describing is probably more enjoyable.
The probably has bowling,
compared
right?
to Cybertron Adventures.
Oh, man.
Golf mode.
Golf mode. ultimate frisbee.
All right, well, thanks, Peter. So, John, real quick, tell us what's going on in the chat today.
Well, I guess two things. Okay, so when you guys were talking about Transformers Prime, our favorite fan, Don. Don wants an episode focusing on the kids. So that's an interesting, whether you like that idea or not, that's an interesting topic. What do you guys think of the kids to this point?
Really great how most of them weren't around in this week's episode.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of awesome.
Just Miko.
Yeah. I would tell if it were up to me, I would tell Jack to, I would tape Jack's mouth shut, just let Rafe do whatever he wants and kill off Miko.
There you go.
I would run her over.
Sounds good.
I would run over with a truck.
See, kill off Miko. Someone just said that.
See, Seeker, you and me, buddy.
Oh, I like Miko.
Oh, my gosh. In all caps, they said
yeah. That. Oh, man, fantastic. Why are we calling for the death of this character? Probably because they're bad. But anyway.
Well,
there you go.
Let's see.
There's a human in a Transformers series, JD.
Yeah, I know.
The only thing that could possibly happen is to have them killed off.
Well, Sari was okay, right?
Yes.
But she wasn't a human character.
Fans tended to
not at first. Everybody didn't like her at first.
Once season two, when she changed into that robot.
Yeah, once she became not a human.
Spoiler alert. When she became not human, everything worked out.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Let's see. The other thing is, did any of you guys have the fortune of getting GT Ramjet or Bakon Thundercrack?
No. I think Kilby's going to be talking about that next week.
Kilby did, and I hope maybe he'll talk about it next week or when he's ever on this show again, but there was heavy talk in the chat about those two toys, so we'll tease a review at some point.
So you're good. I think next week. Brian should be back next week.
You have them as well, right, John?
I do. They're packed up in a box, which again.
Yeah.
What you gonna do? So yes, awesome. Long live Neon and retinal damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome.
More pew.
All right, well thanks, John. Amy, cool. Comics, yes. What we got?
We have comics this week. Out today, it is a slow month, you know? It's the movie month, so that's how it happens. But out today is Dark of the Moon movie adaptation, issue number 3. And that will have the third installment of the Convergence short prose story by John Barber. I haven't gotten it yet because I haven't been out of the house all day. So the trade has hit the bestsellers list. The Dark of the Moon bestseller has hit the bestsellers list. So congratulations to John Barber and any of the other creators that were on that. I found that was kind of a good thing. I'm happy for him, especially since John Barber, he and his wife had their first child. So, yay!
Yay! Oh, yeah, that's the guy you were talking about during the IDW.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In fact, it was kind of funny because just as they were talking about the IDW forum was announcing things, his wife was in the hospital getting ready to have their child.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty epic. But yes, next week. And I also wanted to say, just in case they are listening to this, congratulations on their new baby too. So,
yep.
Next week, Heart of Darkness number 4 will be out, and I'm not sure if issue number 4 of Dark of the Moon is going to be out. There's been a little bit of chatter that I've seen just recently on the IDW board saying that it might be delayed. So we'll see. Next week, and that's pretty much it for comics.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks, Amy.
Yep.
I was going to have XV do Day in History, but I think he
he
knew that was coming up. So
he left town. He saw what happened in this history.
I know.
He
knew that last week I handed it to him, so he's trying to get out of the way of
God in
it. I guess I'll run with that. So June 21st, 2000, Car Robots, the Ultimate Extreme, the Large Buddha Statue Transformer.
Diagram that sentence.
Yeah, really.
What?
I don't know. I just read what's on the page.
Oh yeah, I do remember this episode.
So big Buddha robot thing, I guess. But
awesome. When Buddha proclaims peace and then shoots rockets in your face.
Right. You know. Like he does.
Like every day.
Yeah. And then June 22nd, 2009, the U.S. Premiere of Revenge of the Fallen was held in Westwood, California during the Los Angeles Film Festival. So very good. I actually tried to start a Twitter topic today called the Things That TF2 Taught Me. So check that out on Twitter. Things TF2 Taught Me. Good stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, but not a lot. So anyway, quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to go to Crave Corner, and we'll be back in just a second.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
It is time once again for the Crave Corner, and as always, I'm here with Cole. How's it going, sir?
Pretty good. How you doing, JD?
I'm doing very well. So exciting things going on at Crave this week. First off, what's your featured item this week, or what featured area?
Well, so we're featuring classics this week, and we've got a bunch on the site. Let me just pull it up. Craig Chappelle listed two times Thundercrackers, Warpaths, and Wheeljacks. We also got a Lugnut, which went up a couple days ago, that's already got a good price marker on it. And then Chiptimus Prime has actually listed two Sergeant Cups with the iGear head modifications. So each one has one of those two more cartoony heads. And what's the word? Oh, I've done the math, and it's actually cheaper than buying, you know, one cup and the headset with all the shipping and stuff. So I think that's a pretty good deal as well.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. That's a great deal on those to get those together.
He did that about a month ago, and I picked up the one with the cigar in his mouth.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's I'm tempted. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Definitely.
So you've got a couple of contests going. There's a new one that came up today. Why don't you tell us about it?
Do we want to talk about the seller contest or refer a friend?
The refer a friend.
Let's do refer a friend. For the rest of June, we're doing refer a friend, which is there's kind of two prongs to it. If you refer a friend and they're new to Crave and they make their first purchase in the month of June, you and your friend will each get $5. And it's across marketplaces. So if you're a Transformers buyer, but you have a friend who likes Star Wars and you refer them and they buy Star Wars, it's still good. And then if you're just a new user in general and you haven't made a purchase yet and you purchase yours before the end of June, make your first purchase before the end of June, you'll get another $5 set. Is there an echo? Sorry, I'm in a stairwell.
No, that's cool. There's a little bit, but that's all right. We're just going to run with it.
So
I could get like $10 is what you're saying.
Well, you get five, and your friend gets five.
I get five, and my friend gets five.
Yeah.
And then that's if you're selling. That's if you're buying, you're saying. So when you buy, you get. So
when you make the purchase, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great deal. So definitely brings people in. I mean, like I said, typically we all know a few other fans, and it's a great way if they haven't purchased on Crave to have them check it out and get paid back for it.
Yeah. So in our announcements for that, we put out like a Google Doc where you just put in your name and the name of the person you referred, and we'll use that to double check the records and whatnot.
Awesome, and that's pretty easy then too.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
And then I know you have a monthly contest going on. That's pretty regular. What's the contest this month?
So for this month of June, we're doing what we did in March again, which is just number of listings sold in the month of between. We launched it on June 10th, so we always start the contest on the day we announce it because it's different every time. So from June 10th to the end of June, top three sellers in terms of quantity and the prizes are $75 Amazon gift card and then $50 and $25 for second, third, obviously.
Oh, wow. Very nice. So what are the standings at this point? Do you know?
Let's see. We put out an announcement yesterday and we had a four-way tie for first.
Wow.
Between, off the top of my head, I can't remember. However, I know that now Keith Garcia has pulled ahead with one. So it's seven, three guys have six, and then fifth place is at four.
So it's still pretty early, though. I mean, you could probably sweep there.
It's anyone's game at this point, which
sell
is good. Because we've had a couple of contests in the past that have been a little one-sided.
That's awesome. And, maybe I didn't mention it last time, but it is amazingly easy to list something for sale.
Yeah, if you have your photos ready to go, it takes less than a minute.
It really does. I mean, like I said, I had listed those two BotCon figures, and – took my pictures, and I was amazed. I, you know, I've gone through, like, eBay and other sites to upload and sell toys before, and it was just literally, it's so easy, so fast, it's so great to use.
We have a limited amount of inventory, like, on site, and I list those and sell them, and yeah, so it takes no time at all to just post a bunch of items.
That's fine. And the best part is if you're listing, no fees. I mean, that's just...
Or time limits.
Or time, yeah, and that's what's great.
As long as you want.
I have had figures up there for nearly a month, just waiting eagerly for some fan.
Oh, any day now, I can feel
so,
it, JD.
I know, it's coming. But it is nice that way. I mean, you get to set up a storefront and really go with it. So, awesome, good deal. So, lots of contests, lots of stuff going on. If you got classics, this would be the time.
We're going to be promoting them on all our feeds this week.
Fantastic. So, awesome. Well, Cole, thanks so much again for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
As always, it's been a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks.
Overlord kann sich in alles verwandeln. Als Düsenjet, Raumfahrtbasis oder Roboter ist er der Super Transformer. Die Original Hasbro Transformers.
Hey, it's Rob, and this is going to be the first week of my rotating segment here on RSC, as I discussed last week on Twitter Theater. I can't be there for the live taping anymore. Sorry, guys, I gotta work at evening times. Maybe I can go back to a day shift soon, or things will change. But for right now, I'm sending in little videos. So on top of Twitter Theater, there's gonna be this little segment. Think of it as the Lewis Black part of Daily Show or whatever. Except probably not as funny. He's really funny. I'm not. Well, this week I'm gonna talk about something I think would be pretty fun. With BotCon going past this past week. Oh, I'm using my iPad to shoot this in case you wonder why the camera keeps moving. I thought it'd be easier for me, and it is, to just use this. With BotCon this past, I guess, 2 weeks ago, I couldn't go, of course. I whined about it enough on the show. We mentioned ahead of time the kind of freaks of BotCon's past, the, you know, weirdos and whatnot, which kind of made me, I was sitting there thinking, and I was thinking about what was my weirdest fan experience, and I'd have to say it was this one dude, that I met a few years ago, and it wasn't at BotCon, this was actually around my hometown here. This is a guy, afterwards we became, myself and a friend became referring to as Bleeding Gums, and I don't think I have to tell you why he would be called Bleeding Gums, because his gums are bleeding badly. And I know I don't have the best teeth in the world. Actually, I think I need to brush them as this camera's picking up. But this guy had brown teeth that were dripping blood. Not kidding. Just like a cartoon character. Drip, drip. Remember on Twilight Zone, the movie, the cartoon wolf where it's like, and blood's dripping out of his teeth? Yeah, that, like that. How it all began was, around 04, I was operating a few fan events that I would hold monthly at my local Media Play. For those of you who don't know what a Media Play is, it's kind of like, if you remember Suncoast Videos, it was Suncoast's big box store. So basically, it was like a very large Suncoast video, just huge and full of stuff. And for about a good 10 or so years, man, they were great, and they're all over Georgia. And of course, now they're out of business, and there's no more. But my local Suncoast used to do fan events. Like, I remember if a popular game was having a new version coming out, they'd have a midnight release with like a party or something. Like, practically, I remember Halo 2. They had like an all night Halo competition where you could buy Halo, and if you won the Halo thing, you won this big Master Chief statue and a whole bunch of goodies. And you know, they would just do these things. They do movie midnight releases. Like, I went there for the Star Wars Episode 1 video release, and there's just a bunch of different fan groups there, like guys in costumes and stuff. I mean, it was like little, you know, fan events were happening there all the time. Well, we have a little local email list here, Georgia Trans Fans. It started off as a Yahoo email list. It's something I started off after the Atlanta Trans Fans mailing list had died away, and I started to be sort of a general Georgia one. it's still going on. I think it's more these, even though the group's still active, it's still it's more of a Facebook group now. You know, those private groups where it's, you get emails and all that. That's how we operate now. I digress. I was wanting to operate sort of a fan event, be monthly for like a, hey, we could all come here once a month. And, you know, local people could come, join the group, or, you know, participate or whatever. Thought it would be fun. And Media Play gave me basically Tuesday night in the first of the month to, in the evening to do it. So obviously it didn't take off very well. I only did about three of them because, you know, Tuesday evening at 7, you don't want to, after work, you don't want to, you know, especially if you don't live in the area, you don't want to drive in hours just to hang out with some dudes and watch a couple episodes of a show if we're going home. And we only had like 2 hours. But we're operating these, and I think this was actually the last one I ran, not because of this dude, but it was, I just, you know, so it wasn't working out. The guy who was running the anime night club thing at Media Play helped me run this, and you know, anime is different. You can get local area kids to come over, you know, something like this where, you know, it was obviously more spread out. They ain't coming on Tuesday night. Do it on Saturday. Whatevs. We're running this month's night, and it was about a handful of people were there, and we're watching some Japanese series. I want to say, actually, I think it was a few episodes of Headmasters, and then we're watching Galaxy Force episodes dubs, because Cybertron hadn't started yet in America, and the Galaxy Force cartoons had already started showing in Japan, and the subtitled ones were popping up, and people were a bit torrenting them. Well, we were watching a couple episodes of those, and I'd keep a paper list with like a little graphic and all that of, I think, Optimus Prime, something kind of generic Transformers there, so people could sign up, and I'd put them, send them invites for the mailing list. We were watching this and talking about some subject. I think it was more movie speculation at the time, because, you know, it was a time when people were doing more speculation of the movies and everything. Nothing had come from it other than the occasional Don Murphy said something and cheese someone off, and that was about it. Well, this dude walks up, and this is the most misshoveled person I had ever seen in my life. Walks up. Like, just, he was wearing one of those, you know, those, like, t-shirts with wolves on them? Yeah. He was wearing one of those. Like, for reals. Wearing one of those. Not, you know, those ones like your grandma wears, the mother grass? Yeah, he was wearing one of those. And he had one of those blue jean jackets on, those denim blue jean jackets. And I remember blue jeans that didn't match the jacket. Like, it was a different shade of blue. And I remember them just dirty. Like, it was just a dirty outfit. But I wasn't trying to be too caring or whatever. I mean, who knows what the guy was doing beforehand. It was a weeknight. And he had a much more robust beard than mine. Like, it went all the way down his neck, all the way up here. He didn't trim it. And he had sort of a curly, I want to say a whitey fro, but it kind of looked like he tried to shape it like a box that kind of had a part here, and it was all curly and kind of gross. Actually, parts that were kind of sticky looking. I want to say either he had gray hair or cobwebs in it. I don't know. Might have been cobwebs. And, you know, there he was with this crazed smile. And these big, he had big bags in his eyes. Not, you know, the bags because you just woke up bags. I mean, like, the, imagine Rat Fink. Those type of bags. He's wearing glasses, you know, those brown, big brown frame glasses. Like, if you look in your, look in one of your old family photo albums, and there's a picture of, like, someone at someone's birthday party in the 70s or 80s, and it's a kid wearing, like, a Kiss t-shirt, and he's big brown glasses, you know, the cheap old frames, and got that little prepubescent mustache going on. Yeah, that's this guy growing up. That's this guy. And he was there, and his gums were bleeding. Like, he had the worst gingivitis known to mankind. Just bleeding gingivitis. And every time he opened his mouth, you can't imagine the smell of pure death that out as he spoke. And he was talking, like, he walked up and goes, and he literally does like this and puts his head in front of the TV. So, like, imagine this is a TV, and you're watching it. Our Transformer show is this. And he stands up, like, I mean, he is just smiling. And I'm thinking maybe he's just awkward. You know, there's a lot of socially awkward people out there, especially in fan bases. So I'm like, oh, this is Galaxy Force. It's the new Transformers series. And he's like, I haven't seen this. I only watch G1. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you might like this when it's got, you know, I used to always hold out hope that the G1 only guys would like some of the more, I don't know. I really don't know. I was thinking back then, I used to think the G1 guys would like the newer cartoons post Beast Wars for whatever reason. I was wrong. And he watched it for a second. He's like, what's that? And I was like, oh, that's a list for a Transformers fans in the area. Oh, and he writes down his email address. He's like, make sure you send me an invite. And I was like, okay. And it looked like these big, like a three-year-old writes for crayon strokes. He took up like 3 or 4 lines. I still don't know what he wrote. It was like hieroglyphics. And he starts talking to him. He goes, I have a, and he does like, the, you know, Morona, The Grudge? If you've seen the, if you've seen the Japanese version of The Grudge, I think he does some in American too, the dad of the ghost families chewing on his fingers. He did something like that, like, I got a site I started. It's kind of something new. And it's like, and all I can think is, man, he's getting all that gum blood all over his fingers. And he's like, it's kind of something new. It's where you take a, I call it Transformers Mythologies. G1, though, it's only G1. He kept saying G1, which, yeah, some people swear by G1. Apparently, especially the very weird, scary monster people do, too. He's like, it's only G1. It's a, you think of a story, something new, like a story, and you write it, and you still submit it, and that's your mythology. And I was like, oh, you mean it's fanfic? No. Mythologies, you think of a story, and you write it, and you post it. And I was like, oh, so it's a fanfic board. Not thinking this guy's not all up here. I mean, he was just like, yeah, he's going to follow me home and kill me for calling it fanfic when it was. So he kind of, and this older woman in a, also a jean jacket, but hers was more of the trench coat jean jacket variety, came and told him to come along. And he's like, bye. And he walked off with her. I think it was his mother. Or his handler. At that point, I kind of thought maybe he might be mentally disabled, and that's why he behaved the way he did. Which is not really an excuse, but that's the only thing I can come up with. Well, I carefully scratched his name off of the list, and like, no. And that was, I thought that was that. Well, a couple months down the later, my friend Chris, he sometimes chats in the chat room as Baruco. He was mentioning to me about, we used to have this monthly flea market here in the, as like a, as the Lakewoods Antique Flea Market, where it was like a, inside of an amphitheater, they'd monthly do a flea market type thing that was really an antique show. He started going there, he told me about it, and had a lot of toy booths. And on our way to go, he had went the month prior, he told me, and ran into this dude. And I was like, oh, really? He goes, yeah, this is the weirdest guy I've ever met. And he started talking. And next thing I know, he just described a dude I had saw months ago. And I was like, and he has, like, curly hair? And he's like, yeah. And, you know, we laughed for a little bit because we both ran into this weird dude. And that's where he said, he was calling him, he kept saying Bleeding Gums. And that's where I was like, oh, the name stuck because I hadn't came up with a name. I was just like, that weird dude at Media Play. So we go, and we're making a day of it. It's a Saturday in the summer. We're walking around. We both bought a few things, some odd comic books, some odd action figures. Actually, I think I found a couple of smaller mini cars and all that from the G1 era. He bought a couple of, I remember, Beast Wars stuff and all that he didn't have. And then you just heard someone say, "I like your shirt." And Chris was wearing one of those, was wearing like a Star Wars shirt or something, if I recall. And he turned around like, "Oh, thanks." And there he is. "I like your shirt." That's cool. There was Scary Bleeding Gums guy chewing our finger, complimenting him on a Star Wars shirt. It was like 100 degrees in the summer of Georgia, and he was still in that denim jean jacket, wolf t-shirt, jeans, same outfit. I don't think he'd bathed since the last time I saw him, actually, because he looked exactly the same. Obviously, he hadn't brushed his teeth since then, because they got any G1 guys? You can see them. And I don't know what to say. I'm kind of like... And Chris has done left. He just walked away. So I do what any other person would do in this perfect. "Hey, Chris, where are you going?" And I go following Chris. And, you know, we kind of escaped. It's what we did. Chris was the one with the bright idea. Just run. Just leave this guy behind. Yeah, I wish I would have thought of that. But that's how it goes. Well, that's probably my weirdest fan experience. I think I've rambled on a little too long here. I'm pretty sure Brian will clip it up some at the beginning or whatever to make it flow more with the show, and I don't mind. I know I rambled a little. It's easy to do that when you're holding the camera to your face. Yeah. So, that's it for this week. Well, except for Twitter Theater. Check you guys out next week. Who knows what I'll talk about for too long. Hopefully I get to be on the show live again, guys, and have fun. Back to you guys. Bye.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
And we are back. So, let's get to our topic this week. But first, I do want to say I did sell that Tigatron. Yes.
Nice.
So, thank you.
Nice.
Now I just got to sell the RC.
RC.
Yeah. So, that's the next step. I did drop both of those like by $25 this week. And the Tigatron, like that, gone. So, hopefully the RC will sell. So, if you're looking for a 2000 BotCon... 2001 actually, BotCon RC. It's there on Crave now. Go get it. So let's talk about the topic real quick this week. So I've sort of read this. So basically, here's the deal. And this came from the AllSpark, as we always like to steal stuff. The Shout Beast Wars set has the background, is one of the special features on there. It's from the Year One Beast Wars catalog. Now, in the catalog, they had the Beast Wars figures, but they gave them, like, G1 character names, I think as just filler names, right? I mean, that's essentially what they were doing. Is that, or, well, I mean, I guess that's a discussion, isn't it? I mean, so, for example, Polar Claw was Red Alert, Buzzsaw was Bumblebee, the Ultra Megatron was Galvatron, so forth. So the question came up as to whether... this is something that, like, they meant to do? Like, were they planning on actually using these names? Does that play into the characters? Or was this just, like, a kind of a filler deal? I mean, does that encapsulate sort of actually the concept of what they're getting at?
Well, yeah, and summing up to say that they basically, by doing this, have turned the fandom into ATT 1996 again.
Oh, you mean on over at AllSpark as far as part of this discussion? Or
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Gotcha. In trying to link the Beast Wars characters to G1 characters.
G1. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So, what do you think? I mean, in terms of that line of thinking.
The continuity presented in the early tech specs has always been really interesting to me, since the original idea seemed for it to be on modern-day Earth. And part of me really wants to take these names as an extension of that idea, even though some of it, like Predacon Bumblebee, doesn't make a whole lot of sense in that context.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the other part of my mind that actually, like, understands things and knows reason can't really let go of the fact that this probably is just placeholders for stuff they didn't have locked in yet.
Yeah, I mean, because they probably didn't have solidified story, and if they were going with, you know, the show, that was probably going to establish more of the fiction. I mean, that's kind of how they did it before, so...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this doesn't get me particularly fired up, I guess. I mean, I don't know. So, I mean, but as far as, like, I mean, obviously, there is a bit of a concept, though, that some of this was designed to be Earth. I mean, you look at, like, K-9, I mean, that can't really exist on prehistoric Earth.
Well, and I mean, it's really all in the tech specs, too.
Yeah.
Everything that came out in the first year had indications of being on, you know, a current form of Earth.
Yeah.
Not some other planet or prehistory.
Right, which is what they tried to sell. I mean, in terms of the show, that was like the direction they tried to go, but and say it was like a different place or something. But let's see what I don't know. Any other thoughts on this? Or I mean, is this groundbreaking in any way? I don't know. I'm kind of like, yeah, about this. You know, I'm like,
you know, it's one of those things where you never know how much mystery we as fans infuse into it and just how maybe mundane the real story is. You know, how like it's a copywriter kind of sitting around and he grabs some printouts of, you know, names they own. And he may be vaguely aware of G1 at that time because that was probably, the mid-90s when they were developing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just kind of pluck some stuff that he thinks kind of works. And then almost 20 years later, we're sitting around having a 500-post thread on, you know, what it really means.
It is very...
That's what I was thinking.
It is very...
Seriously? You guys are going back to this now? I mean...
It is very ATT style, though, to have a discussion about that, though, because
it is. Yeah, and it's fun. It's fun. It's just also funny to think, like, what really happened, you know, when it's like a 19-year-old intern saying, yeah, I guess it looks like Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's a bee. It's a bumblebee. It's purple. It's probably Galvatron. Polar Claw. It's a bear. Right. Smokey the Bear. Red Alert.
Let's go to lunch.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
I think the Red Alert thing's more tied into the colors of the toy, though.
Well, no. Well, possibly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a twofer. Well, because the colors changed on that originally. Weren't the original colors brown, or was that the Japanese?
Yeah, it was originally more grizzly.
Yeah.
Grizzly bear.
I think you could go either way. I think you could think of it as a Smokey the Bear reference, or it could be the red and white. But I like the Smokey the Bear reference because I came up with it. So no ego there. I don't know. Like I said, I'm just not. And I guess the correlation is: are these characters like the characters that they're named after? But I don't really see that in a lot of cases. I mean, obviously, Pterosaur was sort of based on Starscream. I think from a character standpoint, but I don't.
Yeah,
think
absolutely.
You know, but I don't. I think that was sort of incidental as a piece of the fiction, not really something that was necessarily intended. You know, just because of a picture that was in a magazine, you know, that was not even really printed, so...
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that in the images that can be seen on the DVD, you can't actually see the names of, like, Wolfang or Pterosaur or Tigatron to see what those placeholders would have been.
Yeah.
Because really,
with Starscream, people...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway.
I could see if I can grab them. I mean, I know these pictures are just from like the TV, so
yeah,
I have the set, so I can see if I can grab it.
Well, it's somewhere in the making of feature.
Yeah, some not that. And, you know, and like I said, it may be some. If you want to get in on the session, you can go to AllSpark, check it out, yell at people on there because that's fun.
I get a quick question on
T-formers. You know, start the discussion on T-formers and have it in two places because that's not confusing. So, I'm sorry, John.
So, what about Beast Wars? It's kind of related. Okay, so Beast Wars is pretty far in the past now. So, what about... Is Beast Wars still relevant? Or stories or tidbits about Beast Wars like this?
I think they are. We can still be putting those characters into the Hall of Fame.
They get you excited. I mean, but that's essentially like the ultimate retirement, right? So that's kind of like the fond farewell. So, I don't know. I mean, it's Beast Wars. It's been neglected almost since the second it went away. And we went back to just nothing but G1, G1, G1. So is Beast Wars still like exciting to you guys?
It depends on what you mean. Like, I still like a lot of those figures and I still like the fiction. But I don't think I'm like chomping at the bit for fresh Beast Wars news.
Yeah, or like trivia or tidbits about the past like this.
No, not really. I mean, that's why maybe I think I'm a little bit, like, meh on this. Like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, whatever. So,
because, like, think about, like, when they had those auctions for G1 artifacts. I forget which writer it was, but, you know, one of the writers, script writers, was auctioning off scripts for the G1 show and different artifacts and character art and stuff like that. People got crazy excited for that kind of stuff. So if we get that with Beast Wars stuff, say, in a few years, I mean, is the excitement going to be there?
Well,
so, you know, how people are going to react to that.
I think it depends. When did those come out? When was that script? I mean, there's a little bit of nostalgia because original Transformers was so prominent. I mean, it was so, at the time, it was very ingrained and it was very,
it was iconic.
Yeah, it was very iconic. Sure. Thank you.
He had few choices other than Transformers.
Right.
Relatively.
Beast Wars was sort of nestled into, I mean, there were other things going on at the time. So if you were a Transformers fan or if you remembered Transformers, you could kind of get into it. But it wasn't like it had the sort of market penetration or social, you know, penetration as other things. So I think that's something that's just not, nothing's going to be G1. I mean, even though G1 was crap as a series, nothing's going to beat that level of enthusiasm going forward. But I think that, I mean, we do have to remember, too, that, you know, the kids that were watching Beast Wars when it was on, I mean, you know, they're in their, you know, 20s now, and they're, you know, now they have paying jobs, and they may be getting ready to say, hey, I had those, let me recollect those, and, that would be cool to have a script from the show, because that was really good. So, I think we're just at the level, we're just really at the point now at which, if there's going to be a lot of enthusiasm about Beast Wars, this would be about the time that it would start to hit. So I think we're really early in that phase.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I was into Beast Wars and Beast Machines when it came out, but I heard about this, like the names and stuff like that. I gave it a meh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, okay, that's great, I guess.
I don't know. I guess to me it's interesting to see aspects that may have gone into the development of the thing overall. I mean, Beast Wars is basically a closed book at this point, so all that's really left is to see what elements helped to shape it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's why I say, but I think it's interesting from a fan standpoint, but I don't think, you know, it's necessarily, I mean, we talked about, like, the Jim Shooter stuff, and we're like, oh, we want to go see that, I want to go read that. Are we at the same level about this kind of information as
apparently
we are about
not
that?
If they came out with something like that, I think it's more, I think something like this, like the Jim Shooter stuff, is more interesting than, oh, Pterosaur was potentially named Starscream.
Right.
It's like kind of cool and all, I guess, but it's not something that I would consider to be like, oh, this is awesome. Like, the Jim Shooter stuff is cool because it's just stuff that you've never heard before. And it's well written and it's very, like, thorough recollection and just telling new things that you never knew about. So if, you know, Bob Forward or Bob Skirr came out and said, This is how we did the show, and like blah blah blah, and you know, there's some new stuff that you didn't hear of before, I would be interested in.
Yeah,
but you know, finding out that, you know, Polar Bear Claw Man was somebody else.
Polar Bear Claw Man.
Man.
That's his superhero name, actually. Like, when he puts on a cape and fights crime.
You know, what John was saying, some poor 19-year-old intern was like, okay, color, okay, here you go. This is Red Alert. It's like Polar Blair Claw Man instead. Let's name it instead. Like, you know, it's not, that could be anything, right? I mean, they named Grapple Grappel because they
Grappelle.
Well,
points for the legal team.
Yeah, couldn't get is a little bit misleading, but
yeah,
right. Well, yeah, okay,
but so, Grappel is just even defensible as a trademark where grapple's too generic to do, right?
Yeah,
right. So.
Which is
so overrated. I'm gonna say I've worked in places where they've done the same kind of trick, and it's like, you know, it's not like they're gonna come out with the Hot Wheels that looks like Grapple and talks like Grapple and smells like Grapple and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
the same thing with like Apple, right? Their name is Apple. It's like, really?
Like you
but,
can do that?
You know, if it's an Apple technology, then, you know, then they can sue for it. But if somebody said, oh, here's my Apple, and they're like, no, you can't sue
for it. You can't say that. Oh. It's a computer.
Yeah. Like, you can't say that. But I'm eating an Apple. You can't say that. No.
Now, wait a minute. What if you make an abacus out of apples? Does that...
It would be delicious.
Yeah.
Well, it would be delicious for, you know, 3 to 4 days.
Best.
Yeah, that would be disgusting.
Wow. All right. Well, apparently there was more discussion.
Then it would be abacus sauce.
God.
Some 95-year-old Chinese woman would thank you. Like, my favorite. I can do meth and I can eat.
Yeah.
Yay.
So apparently there was a little more discussion there than we thought. That's interesting.
As much as I hope for.
Yeah. Oh, well. Good try, though. Yeah. That's solid.
That's right.
That was a good attempt. Anything real quick in the chat, John, before we go? Any excitement?
Not a damn thing.
Other than Headmaster Don, apparently he's 41, but I think Metal Hawk guy has him beat. I think Metal Hawk guy is...
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know about that. I think Metal Hawk guy is older. I thought Metal Hawk guy was over 40.
They're very comparable in age from what I remember, but I think Joe might be a little younger.
Ah, yeah.
Don't feel bad, though, Don.
No. You're still very venerable and noble in our eyes. So,
proud veteran.
Yes. Awesome. Okay, well, that's our show this week. We're going to end with Twitter Theater brought to us by Rob, who, as we said last week, has a job and can't be on the show regular, but he's still...
The manliest of jobs.
Yes, he is a rock lord. But anyway, so we'll end with Twitter Theater. And then we'll be back next week. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And make sure to stay tuned for new Soundwave coming up next. So thanks, everybody.
Ooh.
Hey, this is Rob with Radio Free Cybertron. I'm going to do this week's Twitter Theater. Of course, if you didn't check out this week's Twitter Theater, do so at tfvideo.net or tfradio.net/video. This week, it was a... it was a commercial I haven't seen before, and that's kind of odd for me because I've practically seen almost every Transformers commercial. In fact, it's almost something of a hobby of mine on its own. I really like Transformers commercials. For a time, I kept an archive of them all on CD-ROM. I don't know what happened at CD-ROM, but it doesn't matter because now there's YouTube with everything, and then some creepy version of the commercial with new music or something that someone made. I mean, there's everything right there at my tips. Well, this is one I haven't seen before. It's from about 2000 or so. It's for Jubilee. Jubilee is a fast food restaurant chain more established outside of America. Although, according to their Wikipedia page, there is a few locations in the United States. I haven't seen it. I'm from the South. So, of course, you know, if it's not here, it don't exist, man. But apparently, Jubilee's had some pretty decent Transformers Happy Meals in the past. Usually it looks like it's similar toys that they've used at McDonald's for their Happy Meals and whatnot. At least that's what I can tell from looking at the wiki. But this one is for Beast Machines, Jubilee Kids Meal. And these look like much better Beast Machines Kids Meals toys than our McDonald's got for, you know, the Beast Machines Happy Meal. And what they are, I don't know if it's more just Cheetor, Optimus Primal, and Megatron, but that's all it's shown in the commercial as, if you guys watch, you'll see it starts off with sort of a roar noise, and these kids are like, roar, you know, true kid fashion. One's like, Optimus Primal, and then they switch frames with him, and there's Optimus Primal, roar, and they show his toy, and one's Cheetor, and one's Megatron, and the kid is Megatron, has Halloween makeup on. That's great. That is great. These kids are playing. I think they're supposed to be in the Philippines. These kids are playing Transformers for the commercial. And the kid goes, Megatron! And he took the time to put little warts on his face. Which Megatron didn't really have. But I guess someone said, hey, that's something a bad guy would do. That's something a bad guy totally would do. And it's really cool. Reason it's really cool is, for one, if you've seen the commercials they give our kids' meals And that's not even coming as an adult. That's thinking as a child. You know, there's Corvo, Ronald, hey, blah, blah, blah. Oh, look, there's the toy. Bye. You know, every once in a while you get something like the kids playing with it or whatever. That's pretty fun. But this one, you know, they try to put a little production into it. You know, a little drama. And it doesn't help that these toys, I want these. I don't know if I ever will be able to get them. And I don't know if I ever will get them because they might be for a price I don't want to pay. But they looked really cool. The Megatron looked like he actually had arms. And if you've got the Beast Machines Megatron, he pretty much doesn't. I mean, he's just like a opening thing. Just like that. And the Cheetor looked a lot better quality than the Happy Meal Cheetor. Same with the Primal. Actually, Primal looked like he might just be the Happy Meal one. With a few more paint apps, or maybe upsized a little. I don't know. I really don't. But these look like pretty cool toys. Pretty cool toys to me, at least. And what do I know? Not really much. Or something. Or anything. But it wasn't really a wacky commercial this time, so to speak, as more of a check out these toys, check out this Happy Meal or Kids Meal that we didn't know of. I actually found it looking for commercials for the KFC Chicky Meal that KFC does with their promotions, and I just saw this and I thought, man, that's pretty cool, it's pretty wild. And, you know, it's just a fun commercial, too. It's kids being kids, which I like. And one had Halloween makeup on sitting around the house. You know, as fans, we tend to forget the kids aspect to these things. We kind of think we're the only ones there and stuff. We tend to forget about the kids. And the kids are really what drives Transformers. So seeing a commercial with nothing but kids being kids, man, it's great. And it should be like that more often, I think. Well, that's Twitter Theater this week, guys. Maybe next week will be more weirdness or badly created stuff. I don't know, because I generally pick it like the day before I do this. So, well, back to you guys.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron. Transform!